Pain doesn't come from nowhere. It's really a warning signal to your body. And when you don't feel safe in your body, especially when you're in constant pain and you're scared that doing things is going to make it worse, or you went through a really harsh traumatic incident, right? Or even just like medical trauma, you know, like all of this can make your body not feel safe anymore. And when it does that, it activates these warning signals like, oh my God, something's happening. She's not safe, help her, help her, help her, you know? And it sends pain signals. Hi, and welcome to the Endo Babe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech turned endometriosis coach, positivity and self-love advocate, a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am a proud dog mom. And I'm on a mission to help you live more positively with endometriosis and be happy in your body. On the Endo Babe podcast, we're going to dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, self-love, health, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass endo babes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered on your own health journey with more confidence and the belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babes? See you in the podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Endo Babe podcast. So I want to chat with you about chronic pain. It's one of the most interesting things and life-changing things that I really learned about pain was that, especially about chronic persistent pain, the pain that we all experience, right, is that not all pain equals damage. Right? And for a lot of us, especially those of us who've had pain for years and years and years, our body can create pain pathways. And these pain pathways are basically neural pathways in our brain that are created because of the constant pain stimuli, right? And so what this means is that this is why we can still have pain post-excision surgery, right? So like my left side pain, I still have pain over there because I had that pain for years and years and years. Even though they went in, they excised the endometriosis, they removed the adhesions, there's no structural abnormalities over there. My brain just continues to send pain signals to that area because it's been rewired to do so, right? And this is because pain is created in our brain, not in our bodies. Our body sends signals to our brain, but the pain is actually physically created in our brain, right? The brain gets a notification from something in our body. It's like, oh, ouch, this kind of hurts. The signal gets sent up to our brain. Our brain sends pain signals down to that area. And when you can realize this, it really changes your entire outlook on our chronic pain condition. And I know it did for me, right? Because what this means is that our brain can create pain when it doesn't feel safe. It can create pain after a traumatic incident. It can create pain because of a actual physical stimuli like endometriosis. It can create pain in response to the fight or flight mode. It can create pain with intense emotions. It can create pain in response to a lot of different things, right? Not just physical things that are damaging us, right? And that's one of the most wild things that I learned in my learnings of chronic pain in the brain and how to biohack your brain away from pain is this, that not all pain is caused by an actual injury, right? Like a lot of the times, and I should do a poll on my story for this, because even I was talking to Dr. Cook on that podcast that I did with him for Vital Health Endometriosis. A lot of people come to him with intense pain post a traumatic incident, right? And I know for me personally, my pain really started to get really bad after my parents went through a severe divorce and we were evicted from our house, and like all of these like traumatic things happened right back to back. My pain intensified, right? And it wasn't, the endometriosis didn't just magically appear at that time. I'd always had it because they say, or the research is pointing to endometriosis being laid out when you're created as from an embryo, right? So the very beginning stages of life. So I've always had the endometriosis, but it was triggered, the onset of it was triggered by a traumatic incident, potentially, right? And in learning about chronic pain and how emotions can play into pain, right? Is that, so say I have this really bad, like I was just saying, this traumatic emotional experience that I went through. My body is then like, hey, look at this pain down here. Ignore all of that emotional trauma. Like, that's too much for you. I'm trying to keep you safe. So look at this pain here, down here, like trying to distract you. Like, ooh, look, shiny object down here. Here's some pain. Ignore all that emotional trauma. Focus on your physical body pain, you know, and that's just your body's response to trying to keep you safe the best that it knows how. And so really in learning how, learning all of this, right? Like, we can learn and teach our body that it's safe, and we can rewire some of those pain pathways by calming our nervous systems and retraining our brain away from pain, right? It's really about making your body feel safe again. And I'm not saying that all of your pain is caused by this, right? But for the majority of us, it's a good portion of our pain, right? I think this also potentially could be why, and I haven't done research on this, right? But it's just a theory of mine that why the different stages don't correlate to the severity of pain, right? Because our emotions and our life experiences and how we perceive our pain and all of these other things, how often we're in fight or flight mode, all play into the severity of our pain. But the beautiful thing is that we can make our body feel safe again and calm our nervous system and train our brain away from that pain, right? And this is because our brain is plastic. It's neuroplasticity is the word. And basically that means that our brain can mold and change and create new neural pathways, right? And new neural pathways towards pain. It can also create new neural pathways away from pain, right? And so there's a difference between neuroplastic pain and structural pain, right? Neuroplastic pain is the pain I was just explaining these last couple minutes. Structural pain is a broken arm, right? It is a physical damage to your organs. Like, endometriosis can cause structural pain, but there's also a lot of neuroplastic pain that goes into that, right? And so really finding safety in your body when you do have neuroplastic pain, which I can guarantee a lot of us do, is the key to really rewiring these pain pathways, right? And a good way to understand or to see, like, the difference between neuroplastic pain and structural pain is this, like, all over pain is not how structural pain works, right? And so, like, a lot of women that have endometriosis, a lot of people that have endometriosis also have fibromyalgia, right? Which is a neuroplastic pain syndrome, right? And so if the pain comes and goes along with different emotions, or it's all over pain, or it kind of fluctuates, like you go into a flare often, like with endometriosis, right? Your pain is still real. It doesn't make it any less real. But that could be a sign that it could be neuroplastic pain over just endometriosis pain, right? And so the main symptom and other symptoms, they can like cycle from one thing to another. So first you have like pain in your shoulder, then your hip hurts, then your abdomen hurts, then your chest hurts, then your boob hurts, then your toe hurts. I'm just naming a bunch of random things. That could be a sign that it's neuroplastic pain because your brain is kind of like, freaking out and sending pain signals everywhere, right? It's also sending pain signals to the area that had the constant pain stimuli from a bunch of endometriosis, right? But pain doesn't come from nowhere. It's honestly a warning signal, right? And the pain comes on in the first place a lot of times because we have a relationship with fear and safety. And what that means is that what I was kind of explaining before, right? Where our body is trying to keep us safe by bringing on pain because it doesn't feel safe and it's scared, right? But again, pain doesn't come from nowhere. It's really a warning signal to your body. And when you don't feel safe in your body, especially when you're in constant pain and you're scared that doing things is going to make it worse, or you went through a really harsh traumatic incident, right? Or even just like medical trauma, you know, like all of this can make your body not feel safe anymore. And when it does that, it activates these warning signals like, oh my God, something's happening. She's not safe. Help her, you know? And it sends pain signals, right? And again, not everybody, I know I keep saying like an intense traumatic incident, but an intense traumatic incident to somebody could be a parent who's anxious all the time, or who's financially stressed, who puts too much pressure on you, or you putting too much pressure on yourself, right? Or you're criticizing yourself, or scaring yourself, or you're being mean to yourself. Like, all of those cause the body to go into fight or flight mode, which triggers your brain, like, hey, I'm not safe, send pain signals, something's wrong, worry, 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 freak out, you know? And so the goal with all of this is to really teach your brain that it's safe, right? Because if you can think of, we have different brains, right? We have a primitive reptilian brain, we have our emotional brain, we have our conscious brain, but our primitive brain, which is what we needed way back when we were running from saber-toothed tigers and like constantly having to be on alert looking for the worst thing ever because everything was going to kill us. That primitive brain is still in there even though we live in a modern society, right? And that brain needs love and comfort and safety. And what I like to do is, I mean, imagine it's like a small animal that doesn't know that the world is safe, right? I don't know if you guys, I remember reading this book when I was in elementary school, and I think there's a TV show about it now, but it was like The Golden Compass. And in that book, well, there's a series. In that series, every person has a little part of their soul that's outside of their body, and it takes the form of different animals, right? And so if you can kind of imagine that, like, part of your brain is like a little animal that needs love and comfort and safety, right? And your one job is to prioritize communicating safety to that animal. It makes it so much easier. Like, what do you do? So you know the 4th of July is coming up. Animals are so scared on the 4th of July. There's all these loud noises, big bangs going on. It doesn't know what's happening. They shake, they freak out, you know? Like, what do you do? Are you gonna get mad at it and yell and say, like, it's just fireworks, you're so dumb, blah, 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 you know? That's just going to make it worse. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to go and you're going to pick them up and love them and hug on them and put a little thunder jacket on them and give them some CBD treats and make them feel loved and safe and cared for and comforted. And that's going to help their anxiety. That's going to help them calm down, right? And that's what we need to do with this part of our brain, is teach it that we're safe, that it's loved and supported and cared for. And when you can imagine it as a little pet, it could be any kind of pet you want it to be. It makes it that much easier, right? And you can do this mentally with how you talk to yourself, right? Our words fucking matter. How we talk to ourselves, it fucking matters. If you're constantly telling yourself, I'll do a whole episode about this soon, but if you're constantly telling yourself, fuck my body, fuck my endo, I hate it, it's so stupid, why is it always broken, nothing's ever wrong, your body's gonna perceive that as danger. Somebody's being mean to me. Somebody, it's not safe here, it's not safe here, better go in fight or flight mode. And it's gonna actually intensify your pain, right? So when you can mentally do this by how you talk to yourself, even starting with like some neutral affirmations. My body is safe. My body is good. You know, it doesn't have to be like this big hippy-dippy spiritual thing, like, my body is a temple, I'm pure from the inside, I don't know. just start with how you talk to yourself, right? Because it's been scientifically proven that how you talk to yourself matters. It actually can co-create your reality. It can do everything along with helping your body feel safe or unsafe, right? And so start with talking to your body and talking to your just yourself in general with love and appreciation and gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most powerful things that you can do. Seriously, one of the most powerful things that you can do, because it honestly shows your body that it's safe. You can teach your body that it's safe and decrease pain signals, right? And it's a really simple practice. Like, thank you, body, for keeping me alive. Thank you for getting me through this bad pain day. Thank you for being able to walk a mile today instead of fighting against your body, right? And I'll do a whole podcast about that here coming up soon. So you can teach your brain and body that it's safe mentally by talking to yourself. You can also do it somatically through your body, right? Through your breath and with body mapping, right? And so breath work is powerful. People don't talk about it enough. Like, breathing can actually help control your nervous system. It can teach your body safety. It can create more anxiety for you, right? I don't remember where I read this, but they were doing some research studies, but they were saying that, like, putting your hand on your chest, your brain perceives it as the same thing as giving yourself a hug. So even like if you're going through an anxious or stress-filled time, taking a second to close your eyes and put your hand on your chest and do some deep breathing is going to help teach your body that it's safe, right? When you can focus on the physical sensation of your breathing and close your eyes, how does that sensation feel, right? Is it nice? It helps bring you into the present moment where you're just existing, right? Because it really is less about the sensation and more about the energy in which we focus on that sensation, right? It's the energy in which we attend to things, the energy in how present we are that helps teach our body that it's safe, right? And that's why it's so important. The energy in which, I'm going to say that again, it's less about the sensation we focus on and more about the energy in which we focus on it, right? Because when we try to resolve our pain with pressure and fear, we can stay stuck where we are. Because when we do things with so much pressure, like journaling and meditating, and I have to exercise and I have to do my journaling and I have to do this, your brain is like, ah, freak out, too much pressure, she's pressuring me. And it sends pain signals, right? When you pressure yourself, you criticize yourself, you scare yourself, the little animal in your brain reacts with fear and sends pain signals, right? It's wild. So even just getting present with your breath can help teach yourself that it's safe. And then body mapping is closing your eyes and doing a body map. Like, where in my body am I feeling this emotion? Where in my body am I feeling this pain? Where in my body am I feeling anything? What am I even feeling in my body right now? It's going to help connect your brain to your body, number one. But it's also going to help you name the sensations that your emotions are creating, right? Gentle and relaxed. Where am I feeling this anger right now? Is it in my chest? Can I send breath to that area? Can I tell myself that I'm safe? When you can attach that pain sensation to an emotion, you tell your body like, oh, this is why this is happening, and it can help stop it. Somatically, which just means in your body, gently, relaxed, and being present is the single most effective way to send signals to your brain that you are safe, and it can actually help resolve traumas as well, right? Like, you can talk about things over and over for years, but what you really need is to experience existing in a way where your brain feels safe, because the way that the body and the brain talk, they don't talk by telling. It's show, not tell, right? You need to feel things in your body and actually feel them and show them in your body, not tell your brain, like, just get better, you know? And all you need is practice and really feeling how to be present and exist in a way where your brain feels safe, right? Whether it be somatically, mentally, through breath, through body mapping, through movement, through cold packs, putting cold packs on your skin and bringing yourself out of that fight or flight mode, gentle and relaxed. That's how you're going to teach your brain safety, and that's how you're going to start rewiring those pain pathways away from pain. I love you all. I'll catch you on the next episode of the EndoBabe podcast.
Oh, babe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I had so much fun and I'm so fucking grateful for every single one of you. If you thought that this was helpful or you loved any part of this podcast, I would love, love, love for you to screenshot it and post it on Instagram at Chelsea Bree, ChelseaBri, and tag me. I would love to see what you're getting out of the episodes. It makes me so happy. I would also love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave a review, because that just helps other wonderful endo babes find me as well. I adore you, and I believe that you don't deserve to feel like shit. You deserve to have a normal life despite endometriosis. So I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on next week's episode of the Endo Babe podcast.